It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your senior care consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. We have a loaded program for you here today with my friend and special guest in studio, Christina Strickland. She's the managing partner of the Glenn team at Infinitas. And Christina, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. And I guess Bruce is traveling right now. So you said, hey, I want to be on the radio. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, I made him travel so that I could be here.
Oh, well, see, there we go. All right. Perfect. And if you have questions for Christina, again, with the Glenn team at Infinitas, it's 913-563-7327. And you could call from anywhere in the country. They have clients all around America, actually, 913-563-7327. And Christina, I wanted to let you know, we've added a new affiliate broadcasting partner, KBYR 700 AM, as well as 88.5 FM and 100.1 FM, all in the Anchorage, Alaska market. And that's pretty cool. It began airing last Saturday, June the 15th, and thank you for including us in your broadcast lineup, and welcome to the Senior Care Broadcasting Network, and welcome to the family. And Christina, we're on in Alaska. How about that? That's pretty cool.
I love it. Steve, I think the next live show we do should be in Alaska.
I've not been to Alaska. I've heard it's absolutely beautiful. So
yeah, absolutely.
All right.
The summertime would be great in Alaska.
Yeah, we can get out of this heat. So. So anyway, okay, well, today our theme with Christina is financial family matters, and that this is going to be a great topic. So let's just jump right in. I think most people have heard of financial planning, but what about, you're wanting to talk about family financial planning. So what is that?
Yeah, great question. So I think when we think about financial planning, it's so easy to think about myself or my spouse in our lifetime, but really we're looking at more and more Americans are viewing things through generational lens. So what does financial planning look like for my parents? What does it look like for myself? What does it look like for my kids, for my future grandkids? So just really taking the whole 360-degree picture of the entire family and no longer just me wanting to retire at a certain age and the rest of my life. How does that impact my kids, nieces and nephews, things like that?
It has a ripple effect, right?
Absolutely.
And financial matters apply to everyone from a newborn, and you might be contributing to college funds, and someone who is 70 years old and retired, and will my money last, and everything in between.
Absolutely. I think that it's kind of funny because people think about parenting or all different examples all over the country of, I want to do it just like that, or I want to do the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And financial planning is the same way. I either want to do it just like my parents did, or I don't want to repeat their mistakes. But also, again, if I know that my cup is full, I want to make sure that my family is blessed by the actions that I have taken. So if, as an individual, if you're making smart decisions, that could change the trajectory of your family for generations.
Change the family tree right there.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yep, I love that. So can grandparents or maybe even great-grandparents help in an overall plan for the younger generations?
Yeah, there's so many ways that grandparents and great-grandparents can help with younger generations. They can do things like contributing to college accounts, or though what is even more common is that if you're not sure that a minor in your family is going to go to college, which is absolutely acceptable, we need people in trades, we need skilled labor, we need all of those things to make our society work. Grandparents and great-grandparents can still contribute to the younger generation by still helping them save for, they're going to have a first-time home purchase.
Yep.
They're going to need a car. They're going to need braces, things like, I mean, we all know people are expensive. So anything we can do to help add to that. But also more than just maybe not always specifically giving funds for the benefit of a next generation, Also, though, the way a grandparent or a great-grandparent treats their own finances, because if those assets are going to be left to their children or their grandchildren, they need to be considering, how are those funds taxed? What are the estate implications? So you, it may be actually giving money to the next generation, but it could also be, I'm not giving you money in my lifetime, but I'm making sure that my stuff is in order so that when I am fortunately and no longer here, the next generation is still set up for success through my actions.
And that could get real complicated real fast.
Absolutely. It's a full-time job for sure.
Yeah. All right. So what are some non-retirement goals that people should consider?
Absolutely. So big things, purchasing a first-time home or a vacation home, paying for college, paying for a car. We also see more and more, it's not specific to retirement, but it is the most expensive part of retirement, is healthcare. So all sorts of vehicles and goals that people need to be saving for, way more than just, hey, when I'm retired, I'm going to need X amount of dollars every month. That's certainly a part of the picture, but we're seeing that that piece is becoming a smaller and smaller consideration compared to the rest of financial planning.
You know, and non-retirement goals, and you had mentioned healthcare, 70% of us, whether we like it or not, will require and have to pay for long-term care at some point in our life. And so, and obviously, I'm talking about people who are a little bit older, maybe not, you know, 16-year-old, but so the healthcare responsibilities and upcoming costs, they're enormous.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that I like about planning for the entire family, is because normally when you think about parents, grandparents, they tend to be so focused on taking care of other people. And what I think people don't realize is that you are genuinely taking care of the rest of your family by making sure that you have a plan for that long-term care situation, that you're not going to have to go live at home, or that they're not going to have to pay for your long-term care. And so it is, again, maybe I'm not giving you money, but I'm making sure that I'm also not going to create an undue burden for you either, so that you're also made whole, if that makes sense.
It does. And one real good example is, you know, I've heard so many adults. So I work in the business of senior care, and so I have all of these stories. But one of the stories is, I planned to pay for my care so that my son or my daughter doesn't have to come over and give me a bath. That's just not going to happen. I would be humiliated. It would be a horrible situation. I know they would come over and do that for me because they love me. But the bottom line is, they don't, because I plan for that.
Right. And so not only do they not have to do that, but also they don't have to put off saving for their own retirement, or saving for their children to go to college, or their children to help with a down payment on a house, or to help with a wedding, whatever it is, right? There's only so many dollars, and the dollar can only be split so many ways. And so I'm doing my job as a family leader and making sure that I'm being a good steward with my dollars so that I don't put any need or burden on the other dollars. I meet with so many people that are getting ready to retire that quite frankly don't have enough saved for retirement. And one of the number one reasons is they had to help somebody else out.
Yep.
So anything we can do to help the entire family look at the whole picture, that's where you're going to see more efficient uses of your funds.
And sometimes you have to make some tough decisions and have a little bit of tough love. I'm working with the family right now, and mom and dad are in pretty good shape, but they're paying a lot of money for a son who, they're paying everything for him. And I'm like, it's not my business, but why are you doing that? You can't be doing that. Now he's going to have to stand on his own two feet. So there's going to be some tough love there so that they can afford their care in their senior years.
Yeah, I think one of the big sayings that everyone has heard is, you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to make sure that you are wholly able to do what you need to do. And then if you are just living in abundance and you'd like to help out, by all means, go ahead. But not at the risk of you having what you need in your lifetime. Yep. That should always be your number one priority.
Yep, pay yourself first.
Absolutely.
What about those who are nearing retirement? What steps do they need to make?
Yeah, so if you're nearing retirement, thinking through things, how much cash am I going to need each month in retirement? How are those taxed? Also, what would happen to my beneficiaries? How would the assets flow to the next generation? What would the tax implications for them be? Those are definitely important things to think about.
So you can't just think, I'm going to give the money away. You have to think about the taxes, and for you, for them, sometimes maybe there's a limit on how much you can gift, and that you could, again, you could cause a pretty negative ripple effect, and only part of your money is going to make it to where you wanted it to go.
Yeah, I think the worst thing is a negative consequence that nobody knew about. It's one thing if you intentionally decided to do things the way you wanted to do them. But if you're doing so because you don't know any better, that's when it's sad, quite frankly. And we want everyone to be educated and make well-informed decisions that work for them and their family.
It's all about the information, and knowledge is power. And if this is catching your attention, like I think it is, and you're like, wait a minute. I haven't had these discussions with my financial advisor. Maybe you haven't heard from your financial advisor in months or years. I would invite you to reach out to Christina and the Glenn team at Infinitas, maybe for a second opinion. Check these folks out. They are fantastic with what they do, which is managing money and wealth planning. 913-563-7327. Now the Senior Care Live question of the week. Insurance is not a factor when creating a comprehensive financial plan. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to SeniorCareLive.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Insurance is not a factor when creating a comprehensive financial plan. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is false. The answer is false. And Christina? Why is that statement false?
Absolutely. Insurance is a huge part of your financial planning because when you're younger, you're just starting out, insurance is going to be how you're going to pay off debts. If heaven forbid something happens to one of you, how do you pay off that house? How do you get those kids through school or through weddings, whatever's going on? So in the beginning, insurance is the stopgap of, hey, I don't have enough saved yet to make sure that my family would be okay if something happened to me without my income. So in the beginning, insurance is very much the Band-Aid. Then once you've saved enough, insurance then becomes more of a tax strategy. How am I going to leave funds to my family? Or also insurance can be used as a way to pay for long-term care. And so it at the beginning is an emergency. Oh, no. What happens if? Thank God I have insurance. And then it becomes I can use insurance to pay for some of these expenses in retirement, or I can use insurance to leave money to somebody tax-free. So later on, it's more about being strategic with what you're doing.
Strategic, it matters. That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Christina Strickland, managing partner of the Glenn team at Infinitas. Her number is 913-563-7327. You can call that from anywhere in the country. And Christina, you and Bruce and the team, you have clients in almost every state.
Yeah, I think we're just missing maybe like New Jersey or something, okay. Some random New England state. No offense to New Jersey, right. But I think that's the one we're missing.
Yeah, we need someone to relocate to New Jersey so we can check that box.
Absolutely.
That's 913-563-7327. And so, Christina, sticking with the insurance theme there, so what types of insurance would you recommend people have to mitigate that financial risk?
Absolutely. So like I said earlier in the beginning, insurance becomes just the Band-Aid.
And that would be life insurance?
That would be like a term life insurance of,
yeah.
You know, I just bought a house. I have a 30-year mortgage. So I need to make sure for the next 30 years, whoever is dealing with what happened, heaven forbid something happens to me, they need to be able to pay off the house.
Yep.
So in the beginning, it starts out as just term. But then again, later on in life, it can be, how am I going to pay for long-term care? So what is very popular is a life insurance policy with a long-term care rider.
Yep.
So what's going to happen is either I use the dollars to pay for my own long-term care or my beneficiaries got it when I passed away. So no matter what, the money is being used in an important way. It's just, are you using it for your own care Or is it helping your family settle things after, again, unfortunately, you're no longer around?
In a combination policy like that, I like it. I generally like my insurance a little more specific, but I do like that combination policy because it overcomes the hurdle or the question of, well, Steve, what if I pay all this money and I don't use it? Well, first of all, you just won the lottery because you're part of the 30% that didn't need long-term care. And so if you are that person, you did not waste the money because when you pass away, there's a life insurance benefit that goes on to your beneficiary.
Yeah, that's I love it for that reason, because that's why I don't love standalone long-term care, is because what if you don't use it? This I love, because if you don't use it, somebody in your family will, or some nonprofit charity that you want to bless. You know, how cool would it be if all of a sudden tomorrow the KC Pet Project was enormously blessed because someone had a life insurance policy?
I was thinking the same thing, and it's got to go to a dog shelter.
It has to. Of course.
Absolutely. So, Christina, if there's one thing your family needs to know, one thing, what is that?
Your family needs to know what your plan is, what makes up that plan. So, for example, my husband always makes fun of me because every year on my birthday, I update our document that says, hey, look, I have these insurance policies. We have these retirement accounts. The kids have these college accounts, because there's normally, in most partnerships, there's normally one person that is really with it and really on top of those things. And then there's normally someone who is not as excited to talk about those things. typically, right?
Right.
And so the thing is, they need to know the plan, because here's the deal. Planning for retirement, planning for estate planning, planning for long-term care, planning to take care of your next generation, all of those things take time and energy and effort. And if you're like me, they're fun, but for some people, that's not fun. Don't do all of that work to have a good plan for the future and then let it just fall apart because you didn't communicate it.
Mm.
What's the plan? Where is it? Who would I call? If heaven forbid I got the worst phone call in the world tomorrow, what would I even do? And so I'll tell you a story. We have a family member, a distant relative that we'd never really talked about this type of stuff before.
Yep.
She had a family member die. It was her husband. Her husband died. She didn't even know where to go to the bank. And so,
because he handled everything.
He handled everything. And so one of the first conversations was, immediately we have to go to the funeral home and we have to make funeral arrangements. Well, one of the things that funeral homes are going to ask you is, how are you going to pay for this?
And so, and it's going to be pretty expensive.
So. It is going to be. And so it's, we'll go to the bank, find out how much you have in your checking account. The very next question was, well, which bank do I go to? And they lived in a small town, but there's eight or nine banks in that town.
Oh my.
She literally drove to every single bank.
Oh.
Do I have an account with you? She had no idea. And so, and I hate that story, but I also love that story because so many people can learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people can say, okay, now I know I need my plan. I need to know what it is. And I need to make sure that those around me know as well.
You just woke up a whole bunch of people right there. Because there's always one person that's kind of more in charge of this kind of stuff than another, just like you said. And if some, God forbid, if that person died, where are all these parts of our plan? What bank is it? Where's our investment or investments? And who does our taxes and all of that stuff?
Well, and here's the deal. Those are important things that you need to know. But at that time in your life, I have witnessed this myself and walked through it with so many people. You're also mourning the loss of a very important person in your life.
Yep.
So you are quite probably in the lowest emotional state that you might be dealing with this profound loss.
Oh.
And on top of that, you have to figure out this financial question. That's, I can't imagine a worse situation for someone to be in.
Absolutely. That just woke up a lot of people, guaranteed. What about if you are in retirement already? Are there changes that need to be made to the overall plan at that point?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing if you're in retirement already is making sure that your beneficiaries are up to date, making sure everyone is included, and then also just knowing what's going to happen to your beneficiaries from a tax standpoint. Make sure that what you have is not going to create a huge tax burden for somebody else.
And that takes speaking with a knowledgeable professional that knows what they're doing.
That would be the plan, yes. And hopefully that, someone that knows what they're doing.
And I would recommend speaking with a very knowledgeable professional, Christina Strickland. Again, she's the managing partner with the Glenn team at Infinitas, 913-563-7327. And Christina, I have just really enjoyed having you on the program. And I love the one question, and I'll guarantee you it just woke up so many people. Thank you for that. Thanks for sharing that story.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, I'll be back with more coming right up.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right. So last week, I talked a lot about assisted living and what it is and the cost and the pricing models and all of it. I didn't have time to get to long-term care, so thought I would go ahead and jump into that today. Let's talk about long-term care, and I just want to define that. So long-term care is a medical model. It's the highest level of care that you can receive in one of these care communities. Some people still call it a nursing home. And let me say the industry doesn't care for that because it carries a lot of baggage with it and kind of stereotypes and that sort of thing. But the bottom line, I generally call it long-term care, but I just want to acknowledge some people call it a nursing home, the health service, skilled nursing and rehab. There are a lot of different terms, but it is that medical model, that highest level of care. They can help you with all of your activities of daily living, bathing, dressing, grooming, using the restroom, distributing your medications, all of those sort of things, plus full medical care, such as catheter care. So urinary catheter, and it's pretty common for folks to have a urinary catheter depending on their medical situation. Tube feeding, they can help out with tube feeding. They can provide wound care because they have the RNs and LPNs around the clock that can help out with these sort of things. Diabetic management with insulin injections. So you have to have at least an LPN 24/7 for someone needing an injection of any type. That's why generally that is not provided at the assisted living level, although there are some that will do that and can do that, and they staff for it. But by and large, that would fall, this need would fall, any injections would fall into the long-term care category. Pain management. Someone, God bless them, maybe they're so weak that they're bedridden and they require total care, weakened to the point of needing or requiring a mechanical lift to transfer that individual from point A to point B, really heavy physical care. All of these things can be found at the long-term care level of care. All right, so let's talk about the pricing model and costs. So this level of care is billed by the day and not by the month. And as you recall, assisted living is billed by the month. 30 days, give a 30-day notice, and you can be out of there and moved on to a different place or maybe move to another level of care. But this is billed by the day. So there are two options, and one is living in a shared room. Sometimes it's referred to as a semi-private room or a shared room. Then the other option is a private room. Now, let me say that long-term care is considered the most restrictive level of care because by the time you need this type of care, you're paying mostly for the care, and it's not too much about your personal space. So space comes at a premium. So the private room comes at a premium because, again, at this level, it's mostly about the care. So let me just share these numbers with you. In the Kansas City area, a shared room averages about $300 per day. And if you're driving your car, I hope you didn't, that didn't make you swerve. So $300 a day, that's $9,000 per month. It might be plus or minus $30 or $50. But I think that number is pretty uniform across the country. I think if you get in some really large cities where the cost of living is a lot higher, you know, that might be maybe $350, $380 a day. But I think $300 plus or minus about $50 or so would cover it pretty much everywhere across the country. A private room, again, comes at a premium, $350 a day to $500 a day. So that's going to be $10,500, and that would be on the low end of the pricing here, up to about $15,000 a month. So it's obviously very, very expensive. So what if you have a couple living together in long-term care? How does that pricing work? Because if you recall my review of assisted living last week, in that level of care, the second person staying in that assisted living apartment would pay a greatly reduced rate plus their level of care charges. So it ends up being a lot more affordable. It's not times two. However, the long-term care, it does not work that way. And if you have a couple sharing a room in long-term care, each individual would pay that shared room rate. And essentially, that does double your cost per month. And I'll tell you, I have worked with lots and lots and lots of couples who have moved together into a long-term care community. And there's one couple in particular, I just think they have it set up. I always wave at them as I pass by if I'm touring that particular community. But they have, if you look at their room, on one side they have their two beds over there. And then on the other side of the room, they've got their flat screen TV, they've got a little bookshelf, and they have their two favorite recliners. And the recliners, the backs are kind of towards the door, so they're not looking at the door and out into the hallway. They're looking at their TV, and they've got the windows open and all that sort of thing. So they set it up as this neat little apartment space, and I'll tell you, it works for them. They both need a lot of care. They're both getting great care from this particular place that they chose, and I helped them through that search and selection process. It's just worked out great. So that's how they handle it. But so the point is, if two people are moving in together into long-term care, it does double your rate. And both would pay that shared room rate to total doubling the cost versus the assisted living model. Okay, so let's jump into long-term care. And just wanted, I'm not going to do a deep dive into this, but the government came out with a 5-star rating system. And it all came from a congressman. And again, I'll get into a lot more detail maybe another time. But a congressman was trying to learn information about a nursing home for his mother. It's been quite a long time ago. And he said, why can't I find out any information on these nursing homes? Yet, if I'm going to go on vacation, I can look at these, you know, 1 to 5-star rating system and a wealth of information on a hotel if I'm going to go, you know, to Hawaii or if I'm going to go on vacation, wherever. Why don't we have something like that on nursing homes? And they did have some information, but it was kind of hodgepodge pulled together. So he helped to pull all that together and then get a system in place. Now, I never put my eggs in that one basket, but it is good information to have available and to review. So you have this 5-star rating system, Medicare.gov, and the Nursing Home Compare. Very easy to find out. You can go through and look at that. So if you look at the average number of deficiencies per community, let me just open up. I've got a page open here. So I'm just looking at a particular place here in the Kansas City area, and I'm looking at their page. They have an overall rating of 3 stars, which is average. 2 stars would be below average, 1 star well below average. 4 stars above average, 5 stars well above average. So everyone wants 5 stars, but they're kind of hard to find because it's tough to meet that level of performance. So they look at health inspections and staffing and then quality measures. And then there's a convoluted, complicated formula. They put all of that together and they put a lot of weight on the most recent health inspection, which I do agree with. But they look at the last 3 and there's a weighted average. And they come up with this overall star rating. So one of the things I like to do is there's a penalties box. So if you open it up, I'm just looking at one particular place. They have a $7,446 penalty, a $1,316 penalty, $983 penalty, and a $650 penalty. So it looks like it goes back for 3 years. That's 4 federal fines in the last 3 years. And that is actually a lot more common, a lot more common than you might think. So what are those penalties? How did the government come in and review the operations and then decide that there's an issue and they issued a penalty? And I'm going to cover that coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. All right. So we have the Medicare 1 to 5 star rating system. And what happens is there's usually a group, like 2 or 3, maybe 5 or 6 representatives from the state. They come into your long-term care community unannounced, and they pretty much take the place over. So this is a very serious matter. This is like the health inspector walking in the back door of the restaurant, taking food temperatures, and all of a sudden they start writing all of these citations. So it's kind of the same concept, except these folks come through the front door, and they're looking at everything from have you cleaned your kitchen sink to how you hire people to the care that you provide. Everything, stem to stern. And they're wanting to make sure that you're following your own stated and written policies and procedures and that you're meeting state and federal guidelines. And if you're not, then they write what's called a deficiency. And you have which is a kind of a citation. They call it deficiency, where you're in noncompliance on that particular issue. So then they will grade these. So there's some lower level deficiencies, usually paperwork related. There's some mid-level deficiencies where harm came to a resident or could have harmed a resident. And then you have the highest level, immediate jeopardy, J, K, and L. You don't ever want to see those. That means that a resident's health and well-being was in immediate jeopardy. And it's a big deal. You don't want to see those. So that's a big part, the deficiencies and how well you did or you did not do on your most recent surprise health inspection, that has a big impact. So again, that J-level deficiency is one that we don't want to see. I'm looking at a place, their overall rating is 3 stars, so that sounds pretty good. But if you look at their number of deficiencies on the most recent surprise health inspection, they have 14. And so you're saying, was that good or bad? It sounds like a lot. I don't know. What are the benchmarks? Well, the average number of deficiencies in Kansas is 10.3. The national average is 9.4. So we're a little higher here in Kansas. And all these are a little bit different state to state. So 14 is higher than 10.3, which is, that's not good. But what I zeroed in on was they do have a J-level deficiency, immediate jeopardy. And as I read through, they left a resident in the bathroom. They needed help from two staff members to help transfer from point A to point B. So the staff left this person in the bathroom unattended. Of course, the person stood up, had a fall, hit their head really hard. They came back to find this person unresponsive, took him to the hospital, and eventually they did pass away from this accident, from being left unattended. I always say that even the very best of places, you're only as good as the next mistake that your staff makes. And people are people, and they make mistakes. And this mistake was very, very costly. So, gosh, I hate going down that negative trail, but I'm trying to make a point here. And that is this. When you walk into a beautiful place, this place is very nice, and you're impressed with all of the layout and the granite countertops and all of the stuff, you're like, wow, this looks like a great place. And guess what? Most people, that's the first thing they look at. Is it a clean place? Is it a nice place? Can I see my loved one living here? Is this a place I would be proud to visit them or take people in to visit them? Look at what a nice place this is. How nice the place is doesn't tell the whole story. That's the whole point. With my firm, Senior Care Consulting, we don't want to take our clients to a place that's just terrible, just awful. We want it to be a clean place and a nice place. But that is lower on the scale versus performance, much lower. So you can't judge a book by its cover. I also like to say that pretty does not provide care. People provide care. So you go into a nice place. It looks great. Everything's wonderful. 3 stars. Oh, okay, it's average, but I've seen worse. Okay. Well, what if this particular place has a very negative deficiency, one of these J-level deficiencies on their record? Are they required to inform you of that? Well, Steve, wouldn't they have to tell me that? No. No, absolutely not. They do not have to tell you about that. Do you think they're going to voluntarily say, oh, by the way, a resident died on our watch recently. Do you think they're going to say that? There may be some that volunteer that information, but I would say the majority will not. They're not required to. You know why? Because that information is publicly available. It's perfectly open to the general public. So they put that burden of discovery on you. And that just woke a lot of people up. We're waking people up today, I think, on the show. This also goes for assisted living. The deficiencies and the records and any negative things that may have happened, all publicly available information. So first of all, you have to know what it is. Second of all, you have to know where to find it. And then third of all, you have to try to figure out what you're reading and kind of sift through all of that to figure out, well, is that a good or a bad thing? What happened? So there is a lot that goes into this, and it makes me sad and pretty frightened sometimes that people are going out, oh, look at this place. It looks like a beautiful place. Great place. And you know what? They may be a fantastic fit and you may not have any problems there at all. But I'm just saying, I'm trying to make the point, pretty doesn't provide care. People provide care. There's more to the story than the beautiful aesthetic and the granite countertops and all of the stuff. If you are interested in having Senior Care Consulting work with you to walk through all of this, and avoid a pretty place with the J-level deficiency, okay, or something negative, and you're like, I wouldn't be comfortable there. They're going to have to kind of turn that around and let a little bit of time pass before I'd be comfortable with that. So if you're interested in an objective look, expert help and guidance, 913-945-2800 or online at seniorcareconsulting.com. All right, I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.